in your community with your newspapers, because everybody was noticing that the newspapers were getting thinner and thinner every month. But why was that happening? And that's what Julie Reynolds and others were uncovering. And out of that, this film was born. And we followed it for 5 years.
Rick, we just have 30 seconds. You really focus on Denver. You focus on Baltimore Sun. You focus on Oakland, where you are. The big picture here, how desperate do you feel about the loss of local media serving a democratic society?
Well, I think there's a plus and a minus. The minus is that this is happening all over the country, and more than half the daily newspapers are either owned or controlled by hedge funds. So that's the minus. The plus is that there, in every community, there are startups, there are new innovative ways to partner with, say, public radio and local news, digital news organizations.
Rick, we're going to have to leave it there, and people can get the rest of it in this really good documentary, Stripped for Parts, American Journalism on the Brink, now airing and streaming on PBS. Check your local stations. That does it for our show. I'll be in Santa Fe, New Mexico on October 17th. Check out our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Hey, everybody, it's Greg McVicar, creator of Undercurrents. Glad you're listening. This is KBOO 90.7, Portland.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7, on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Right now is Cartober, and it's the best time to support KBOO by donating your vehicle today. You can get rid of that old boat, car, van, truck, jet ski, or RV, and have the proceeds from the sale go to KBOO and receive a tax deduction for your support of community media. For more information, check out kboo.fm/vehicle or call 877-526-6163.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service providing help from trained counselors for when stress, worry, and sadness strike. Help is available by calling or texting 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:02 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Rowland and Jacqueline Keeler.
Current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs and zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they get a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. Well, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun, so I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. See, I got picked on in school, I never felt that cool, there's a hole in my soul that just rages. All the women turned me down, they told me I was a clown. Well, won't you look at me now, I'm putting folks in cages. At ICE, they got great hours, join ICE for respect and power. They got a sign-on bonus of 50 grand. They're in need of you needing to feel like a man. Join ICE. Join ICE.
Morning. Good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio, and this is Jacqueline Keeler. And I am joined here today by Paul Roland. And he is back. And I'm so excited to have him here.
One day, anyway. We'll see. We'll take one day at a time.
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully twice a month at least. So, yeah, it's
good
definitely
to be back. Hi, everybody.
So today we are discussing how should Portlanders respond to Trump's provocations. As you know, he's brought the California National Guard here over the weekend. And the question I have for all of you is, can we save our democracy and how do we do it? Yesterday, Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem arrived in Portland and told the National Guard to, quote, get ready. This despite Governor Kotek calling for troops to be sent home and the state and the city of Portland filing a lawsuit asserting the deployment violates the Posse Comitatus Act and the 10th Amendment. Peaceful Portland protesters, even a couple in their 80s, have faced violence at the hands of federal agents. Trump is using the apparatus of the federal government to invoke the Insurrection Act, which he has brought up. How do we respond? My question for you, the audience, is how do we respond and defend our republic? And Paul, could you give the number for us?
503-231-8187. Still remember it.
Yes, call in, please, and let us know what you think. I think I'm not overstating it by saying that Portland has never faced anything like this before.
Even 2020, which got pretty heated there, and is I think they're still playing video on as if it's happening now on some television stations and cable stations. But that was a trial run, it seems like, for what's happening now.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. I don't know. We'd love to hear from callers who have been to the protests at the ICE facility here in Portland and what they've seen. We'd also like to hear from all of you about what you feel about this and how do you think we should react or not react. I don't know if you know, but last night, Congresswoman Maxine Dexter held a town hall, and also City Council President Elena Pearl-Guinney. There were about over 500 attendees in person with thousands of people online. And the emergency meeting was called after Trump's threats to deploy troops here in Portland, despite the courts repeatedly denying Trump's attempts to send the National Guard. As you know, first, is Judge Emmerger Garrett? She basically ruled that, and she is a Trump appointee, she ruled that he could not deploy the Oregon National Guard here. And then he went and he brought up the California National Guard over the weekend. And then she issued she immediately addressed that by explaining that she meant no National Guard from any state whatsoever. So that's the standoff right now. And so that's where we are. Congresswoman Maxine Dexter said last night that Portland faces an authoritarian threat. Resistance must be peaceful and united. And she said, we will not be intimidated nor submissive to an authoritarian takeover. Do you feel that Portland is facing an authoritarian takeover? Call in. The number here is, Paul, could you give the number again?
503-231-8187.
Yes, great. And then, and she noted that courage and compassion must guide our actions. She warned that Trump is trying to manufacture conflict to justify martial action. And she stressed that facts on the ground do not support his claims of chaos, and called for solidarity across cities. This is a national struggle for democracy. What do you think about that, Paul?
This whole thing about don't take the bait, that seems to be the kind of catchphrase that seems to be making the rounds. You know, I certainly understand that. Obviously, you don't want to give them any more reason, but it seems the problem seems to be before that, which is that they don't seem to need provocations to do all these extra parliamentary and extra judicial measures that they're doing. They seem to be, people are maybe shy about talking about fascism now. Authoritarian is certainly true, but there's a reason why they are so afraid of people using those words, because they seem to be following the model. But anyway, I think that Congressman Rokana just said was very interesting. First of all, he cited Noam Chomsky on the radio, which, you know, I just can't imagine anyone doing, you know, before the present. So it's interesting that they're, you know, the way some of these, you know, some of the politicians who are actually stepping up, actually like really coming out and saying, you know, I'm even surprised some of them. I mean, it shows that they are thinking people, and they can actually say what they really think when they need to. I think the fact that they're actually doing it now shows what we're facing. But I thought what he said after he cited Chomsky was that the Democratic Party needs to lead a democratic movement. I don't think he would have said that, you know, a couple years ago for sure. You know, what would a, you know, I personally, I think we can't wait for, you know, given what the Democratic Party has done in the past, waiting for them is like waiting right now for the Supreme Court to make rulings that are going to resolve anything, and we're going to go on as if life was like before. So I don't know. I'm curious what people, you know, I've talked about this, you know, on this show in the past. Looks like we got a caller, but by the way, Ty, I'm on Facebook like we used to do, so we can communicate that way if you want. I think that you know, the problem of actually having a democracy movement, you know, led by the left is as problematic now as it ever was. And I think what we need to do is address the problems that have disunited us for so long. But I'll leave it there. Go ahead. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, I see. Jesse, go ahead.
Hi, Jesse. You're on the air. You're on Wednesday Talk Radio.
Is that me?
Yes. Yes, it's you.
Sorry.
Good morning.
good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just a transplant from the Midwest. Lived here in Portland for 15 years, and I love it. They're obviously spinning a strange narrative for the sake of, you know, having a huge budget that they made for themselves, and they have to justify it. So, yes, solidarity, peaceful as much as we can. I mean, I've been down there twice. It hasn't been a night when I know things kind of get a little more escalated. And I've had problems, intentionally protesting. I just went down there to talk to people and bring some water to the protesters. I have friends that live nearby. But I just want to yell because I'm so angry. But yes, a major change in the history of this British colony has to happen, or the America as we know it will die after 250 years. All empires crumble after 250 years. We have to change our governments to get big business and money out of the situation, or it doesn't matter if you're left or right, indica or sativa, it doesn't matter. It's you want to escape. You know, the more money you have, the more corruption you're likely to have. And you see the issue. You see that we are top down. Anyways, what we can do, Portlanders, is we can go down there, and you can put your hands up and make them look like the idiots. And it's not too hard to do. Yes, there will be people shot at with pepper bullets. A priest this morning shot at with a pepper bullet in Chicago, or I saw it yesterday. It's just. One is we can't feel discouraged. Mm-hmm. And two is that there really is, in the next year, you know, Tom Harmon said it. He's that we got like 370 days now to save our democracy.
Okay, well,
you have to fight for it now. So I appreciate you taking my call, and anybody who's listening, do something.
Yes.
Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your family that doesn't think the same way. But this is now or never.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, and I also wanted to quote from, well, as you know, we're fighting news coverage that has been largely taken over by billionaires who have allied themselves with Trump. We see the Ellison father and son duo taking over so much in media now, and so I was going to quote also from City Council President Elena Perl-Guinney, who last night said that Portland is not a military zone, obviously. It's a community, not a battleground. And she urged humor, levity, and Portland's signature weirdness as a resistance tactic. And that sounds, it's not trite, because they are trying to basically paint us a certain way and then use that boogeyman in order to unleash all kinds of violence upon our city and our citizens. And I think I saw the other day a video of the ICE people, actually the ICE agents, giving a pepper gas, or you know, on a person who was dressed in a frog costume, which was hilarious, but also kind of illustrated just how, I think it's visually, it's very important to give visual things, because they're going to be covering this and looking for any slip at all, and trying to then, of course, Trump wants to create a state of emergency where he can completely militarize our communities. And she also said that humor and joy are strategic choices, and that she contrasted peaceful protesters with ICE militarized aggression. What do you think? What's your response, Paul?
Well, I'd like to briefly read. We got another caller.
Okay.
I'd like to briefly read a little snippet from a Facebook friend. I think it's becoming increasingly apparent, even to those not paying attention, that we're so far through the looking glass and doing the same thing in the same place. That crosses a threshold where the spectacle and the performance of brutality become appropriated, infiltrated, sabotaged, and ultimately transmogrified by a fascist administration playing three-dimensional chess into an even more violent weaponized strategy, twisted into a propagandized incident to justify a lethal escalation nationwide. So that's, yeah, I mean, she's very, this person is very, one of the more astute people I know, and is certainly, you know, on the left, and so is, I guess, you know, you'd say more radical left, and so is not prone to critiquing, you know, people who act out in, you know, by acts of sabotage and stuff. And but you know, she's,
of course, right now Trump is looking to weaponize
that's just said.
Well, can we hear from the caller, because there's a caller waiting, so hi caller, you're on the air. Oh, I thought you said we did. Okay.
Well, it was written down on this Facebook thing, but
okay.
But the problem is that they are playing three-dimensional chess, and we are doing the same things that we always did, because we don't have the makings of a democracy movement. If you see democracy movements in other countries, they have unified movement building. We don't have unified movement building. Even in Portland, I don't see, you know, the danger is you organize coherently and they'll come down on you. Now that's always been the catch-22 when you go against the state power, is they have the monopoly of all kinds of things, including violence, means of violence, and they can now that they can name us terrorists or whatever, the, you know, anti-capitalists, they can come, you know, they can come down on us, because, you know, all the rules, they're thinking outside the box, and we're still boxed in, is the problem. And I'd be interested what people have to say about that.
Yeah. So so once again, the number here in the station is 503-231-8187. And we'd love to hear what you think about this present situation and what we can do about it. How do we respond to these provocations, Trump's attempt to get one bad thing happen, and then suddenly, you know, he's completely empowered. And how to respond to that. Audience Q&A highlights from last night's meeting. Last night there was a town hall with Congresswoman Maxine Dexter and City Council President Elena Pearl Guinea, and about 500 attendees and thousands more online. And so many people are discussing, you know, sort of the focus of troops being a distraction and a fear tactic. Officials are still focusing on protecting immigrant communities. City Hall is preparing new initiatives to support immigrants. Nonviolent versus violent resistance. Officials are in touch with diverse groups. Message, don't take the bait. And there is some, Paul's brought up some discussion whether or not that is relevant or not, because Trump may do it no matter what. But of course, you know, that will not taking the bait at least give us bias time to figure out what to do and to organize ourselves. And Trump's regime is desperate for riots to justify repression. Peaceful protests keep moral and narrative control. The new 12-member city council enables better citywide representation. So said that you can't tell others how to protest, but we must deny Trump his footage. He wants that footage of one violent action by a Portlander, and then he is empowered to do what he wants. And as I noted before, the media and we have a caller. Oh, hello, caller. You are on the air. You are on Wednesday Talk Radio.
See you again.
Oh, yes.
Again.
Good morning.
Yeah. My thought is, one, you've gone over many times how that we never really had a democracy because it was a setup for rich white people. Mm-hmm. But this is something that just occurred to me because I was hearing about the suffragette movement reading again in Upton Sinclair's The Brass Check. But basically, we didn't even have, we had less than half a democracy because no women could vote.
Yep, that's true.
And it's a majority. Women all by themselves are a majority. It's a natural thing. More people just die, more boys, you know, they do dangerous things and die, basically. Yes, women are superior. I just thought I'd put that out there. You know, we hear about freedom and democracy. Freedom. I think it's like, well, the acronym is FAD, F-A-D. It's a fad.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely democracy has been an evolving project. Certainly protest and movements have enlarged it. And I think, of course, now you see a lot of these Republican women and very far-right MAGA women just kind of leading the charge in the opposite direction. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that. So, Santiago, you are on the line. Good morning. I mean, you were on KBOO. Sorry. Yes, you were on the line. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Paul's right. I think that's the, you know, we have been thinking inside the box because the people who are leading the quote unquote resistance movements are within that box. You know, the No Teens protest is a great slogan to get people out there, but like, you know, we don't need no kings, we need no capitalism. Mm. It's like, you know, people aren't thinking about the system itself. And I think really, I know it's going to sound really trite, but like what we really need to be doing is we need to be finding ways to, like, for lack of a better word, proselytize to the MAGA base, because ultimately this stuff is feeding them. But if they can have information that makes them not hunger for that, this is all like because of a lack of reason. Like that boils down to the fact that bipartisanly the needs of the workers have not been met for about 50 to 60 years.
Yes.
You know, people have been starved.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
So it creates a condition where, you know, essentially televangelists can come in and feed people what they think is hope, but it's destruction. Destruction parading.
Can I just play off of that, because that was like one of the things I really wanted to actually hit on, is that, you know, talking about, you know, capitalism and all that stuff that people don't, most people, I'd say, most by far the majority of Americans don't really have the, I don't know what you want to call it, the mental framework to actually understand what that really means, especially in the current situation. So, you know, if Rokana and, you know, Merkley is out there, you know, putting himself on the front, out in front, if they want to really do something, they need to admit how their party fueled the rise of Donald Trump. They're talking about the reason they're afraid of the left is because the left in some moments actually is the only force that has actual power to, you know, defuse their power to some extent. I mean, we've been disorganized. The fact that they continue to call out the left and socialists and communists now, when, you know, we're really historically at an all-time low ebb, shows the fear they have of because they're the only ones that can call truth to what's really the really dynamics behind it. So anyway, so how we failed. You know, the Democratic Party under Clinton helped enable the massive deindustrialization of the United States. Yeah. You know, the widespread discontent that we have among those, I wrote this down, who switched to Trump from being solidly Democratic, mostly what we call the quote white working class, as problematic as that might be. Used capitalist globalization, shifting primary production from the industrialized North to what we then called the Third World. You know, we're talking about Mexico, we're talking about Asia, we're talking about Central America. And as problematic as the industrialization itself was, and all the pollution and all the oppression and everything, you know, I guess one thing at a time, at least there, you know, you had, you know, the working class learned to respond to that by forming unions, by getting power, and that all just went out the window.
So I hear we have another caller line, Jeff, but I just like to say that, to summarize, you know, we need to figure out, we both are saying that we need to figure out how to reach out to the MAGA who are growing disillusioned. I mean, just search for the hashtag FAFO and you will find a bunch of MAGA people who are upset. They've lost their businesses, their partners have been deported, all kinds of things have happened to them. And how do we reach out to them and begin to build a coalition with them? So, hi, Jeff, you are on the line now. Is Jeff still there?
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Yes, hi.
I'm calling simply to indicate that the most valuable thing that anyone possesses is their attention. We've come finally to call this the attention economy. And what has happened now is that the complete takeover, as was mentioned in Democracy Now! Before this program, the complete takeover of the media, most recently explicitly laid out by Larry Ellison and his son, and Paramount and CBS and so forth. The point of the matter is that your attention is the most valuable thing you've got. And we cannot continue to pay attention, which is like paying money from your wallet, paying, and that's the expression, paying attention. We cannot continue paying attention to the media that has been now almost completely usurped by this frightening regime. And the point then is to pay attention to that most valuable resource you've got to things that not just reinforce your own beliefs, but things that will inform. So stop paying attention. Stop paying attention to a lot of the garbage that's out there. And instead, pay some real money to KBOO Community Radio, where you can actually get the valuable information that you need to live in a democratic society. I thank you for taking my call, and I urge you to do good things and stay well. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you for that message. That's really an important touchstone to keep in mind here, that our attention is important and matters. And obviously, there's a huge billion-dollar media empires out there who are and social media empires who are trying to distract us. And we have another caller on the line. Chris, are you still there?
Good morning.
Morning. You're on KBOO.
I always love what Jeff has to say.
Mm.
And specifically talking about where we give our attention is so important because of controlled opposition. And in essence, controlled opposition tells you who you're supposed to be against.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of manipulating activists. So you'll have two activists inside of the same group, but one of them is an informant. Mm-hmm. And then that informant, actually both of them are informants. And one informant is advocating for one thing, and the other informant's advocating for the other thing, and neither one of them are good for the cause.
Hmm.
And then they try and rally people around them to do whichever thing it is, and both of whichever one people end up choosing is the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to quickly mention how we can avoid this altogether. And it has to do with where we place our attention. So right now we see all of the attention on the ICE facility.
Mm-hmm.
The media is looking at it. The activists are there. You have law enforcement flying circles over it.
Mm-hmm.
But what does fascism do? Fascism attacks the most vulnerable. So while you're over there looking at the ICE facility, your farm worker friends and neighbors are being arrested. Your homeless neighbors are being arrested. Your mentally ill neighbors are being arrested. So instead of going to the most vulnerable and helping them, which is what actually builds alliances and creates solidarity networks of the people who are most harmed.
Hmm.
Instead of that, we're going over to the stick and basically like asking them to hit us.
Hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, if you look at, for instance, Standing Rock,
mm-hmm.
we didn't go to Kelsey Warren's house. We didn't go, I mean, some people did.
Yeah, they did.
We didn't go to the Dakota Access Pipeline headquarters. We went to the water. If you go to the water and protect the water, then the fascists have to bulldoze you in order to stop you from protecting the water.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the most vulnerable and protect them, they have to come through you to get to the most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just standing around in a building, they don't care.
Yeah.
It just gives them target practice.
Yeah, I totally.
As long as you are not protecting the most vulnerable,
uh-huh.
all you're doing is playing into controlled opposition.
That's a great point. I think, I was at Standing Rock, and you know, my father's family are Dakota and Lakota. And certainly, you know, protecting the water, Miniwichos Niwakan, is really important, you know. And I also covered the Malheur takeover by the Bundys. And I think that, and now we're seeing these folks who are militia or who were at January 6th, taking over the Capitol. They have been pardoned by Trump. And now he's trying to claim the insurrectionists are us, right, not them. And even claiming the FBI was doing a false flag operation on January 6th. And it's just, he just spews out so many distractions. I think it's really important to stay focused on what really is going on. And I think that's a really important point to make. I know that Congresswoman Dexter last night said that courage is contagious and that she feels that the courts may still show courage. And she warned of the unitary executive theory, which is to, you know, a political idea which would empower Trump to be like a king. And she encouraged faith in democracy and personal action for justice and dignity. And when she was asked what the plan was, Congresswoman Dexter said, there's no quick fix. Change requires relationships. So building those relationships. Paul, would you like to add something?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, going back to No Dapple, hindsight, you know, I hate to use the football metaphor, but Monday morning quarterbacking, I hate the sport of football. But anyway, it's easy, so I don't want to, you know, but the problem is that attacking, you know, we got defeated there in North Dakota, you know, and you know, we could have won if you know, if a Democrat had been elected, possibly. I can't hear myself. Well, I think that's my headphones.
It's going in and out a little bit.
Yeah, that used to happen. Anyway, so I think that going after the, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, big money in politics and stuff, at this point, it's like that's, you know, that's what led to this point. Mm-hmm. We are at this point now. They are implementing the unitary executive. I mean, authoritarian or fascist, that's kind of the definition, where you merge everything, you know, government, private, you know, big business behind a powerful leader. That's what Mussolini, you know, my dad grew up under Mussolini. I've read about fascism. I mean, that's what he did. You know, they're carrying out that playbook. We're in a very difficult, we're between a rock and a hard place, because organizing under these conditions, you know, they haven't totally solidified their power. So, I mean, the idea that we have however many days or months, I mean, you know, there's validity to that, but they're consolidating their power right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Supreme Court has kept on validating it to a large extent. I mean, it's not totally written. I mean, they could, you know, we haven't, you know, we're in a constitutional crisis, but we're not totally into, you know, the full-blown, you know, complete consolidation where, you know, I mean, they...
Crossing the Rubicon.
Yeah, where they have, where, you know, they, you know, we're getting very, very close. So there's, so how do we, what I would want to keep emphasizing is the problems are in our own mental frameworks, our own inability to connect politically with each other on the left. I mean, I've said this again over and over again. I think now it's just it's at a breaking point. We need to get over, you know, like Santiago said, the problem is capitalism. Well, we need to really force ourselves to come to grips with all this history. How everything led up to, you know, the globalization of the 70s, 80s, 90s, the global consolidation of corporate power, and how that led to the...
Well, you know, I'd like to say that, so I brought up my news coverage of Standing Rock as a journalist and of what happened here in Oregon in 2016 with the Malheur takeover. And one of the things I really examined in my book, Standoff, which covers both of those standoffs in 2016, is the idea that it's what directs these... for me, white people, colonists, for my own people, that's how we observe them and have observed them for since we first met them, right? My family has a lot of oral stories of meeting white people for the first time and what they thought and of them. And I really look at the issue of an algorithm. Now, nowadays, we often talk about algorithms and the kind of social media content you're allowed to see, which is determined by these platforms. Oh, I hear a phone going off. Okay. And then... But algorithm, the way I used it in the book was actually to look at how origin stories create algorithms that basically temper our worldview, that fashion it. And I think that we were talking about why are Americans, so white Americans in particular, so taken in by all this, by the MAGA movement, by Trump. And to me, it really goes down to the origin story of who they are, what those elements dictate to them about what their identity is, right? And I think that identity, you know, I go through a whole historical narrative going back to, you know, the 1400s and looking at that piece by piece from the, I think it's very important to know history and how this happened, right? So I take a very good look at colonialism and the origin of it, and even the Revolutionary War, which was, as I brought up on this show before, is largely a war about wealthy one percenters. All of the founding fathers were some of the wealthiest people in this country, in this hemisphere, even in the world. And they conducted a revolution in order to basically hold the capital of this hemisphere in their own hands. And you know, the Whiskey Rebellion, where George Washington put down the more common folk who were rebelling against, after the Revolutionary War, against the rise in prices and taxes, shows that, you know, who they were, right? It's very important to know who these people were and who built our whole government and why it exists. And a colonial government exists to make a profit. That is the origin story of a settler colonial state, is to make a profit. And so we now see these large corporations, as I mentioned, I think last week, that they don't actually, you know, during the Cold War, we were told that capitalism was freedom, and this was all part and parcel of spreading democracy across the world. And now we see democracy, we see these corporations and these billionaires sidling up to Trump and selling our democracy to make a buck. And that is, I think we need to understand that those two pieces are not necessarily coupled together. And we need to understand how as many of the callers said earlier, how how this is a corporate takeover as well as a authoritarian one. And certainly if you, anyone who's a student of fascism in the 1920s and 30s, know that corporations played a large role in sort of funding Hitler and his groups into power, and I imagine Mussolini as well. And so it's something that we need to be really aware of, and yeah, learning how to talk to the MAGA folks who are getting disillusioned is a part of that, and talking to each other as well. Once again, you can call in. The phone number here in the studio is 503-231-8187, and I'd like to ask, like, how do we proceed here in Portland? How do we address this? Because we have an ongoing attempt to paint us across the country and across the world as violent extremists, and then to Trump is counting on us to be able to let him, pull the trigger on the Insurrection Act, right? And, peaceful protesters here in Portland are the insurrectionists, but his January 6th buddies, I'm sure he's pardoned them, those Proud Boys, and now probably hiring them with ICE, And there was some allegations that these Proud Boys were trying to look like Antifa here in Portland and trying to, start things up. So this is why so many of the protesters in Portland are, dressing up in their pajamas and in funny outfits in order to differentiate themselves from any possible, I guess.
So they'll just start dressing up in pajamas and funny outfits.
Yeah, possibly. So what do you guys think of that? Is that going to work? And what else do we need to be doing? Once again, the number here is 503-231-8187.
I think this, the caller, I guess it was Chris, who mentioned informants or agents. I'm not sure what relevance that had, but in my experience, when you really have a vibrant movement going, that's when they up their game. But you can diffuse that with the energy of the movement. At least if you've got something, they can. It's easier for them to disrupt, if at the early stages nothing's really happening. But the problem is that we don't confront each other with our own blinders, our own problems in our mental frameworks, that of failing to address the actual situation that we are in. And I think, anyway, looks like we got another caller.
Hi, caller. You're on Wednesday Talk Radio.
Oh, don't have him yet. I guess Ty's answering another one. I'll wait till it comes up on my feed here. So how do we, I haven't heard anyone really address that. Over the years, I haven't really heard too much people addressing how do we unify the quote left. If the left is such a scary thing to the right, how do we make it an actual real force? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, to go back over the town hall meeting here last night, City Council President Elena Perlguina, I don't know if that's the last name, but she stated that we need to institutions. She said institutions must stand, but public opinion is the real battlefield right now. She noted that Trump is losing popularity. Every overreach strengthens opposition. And that resistance requires sustained, collective, and inclusive action. She noted Oregon is our home. It is not a military zone. And she called to organize, communicate, and care for vulnerable neighbors. So, hi, we have a caller in line. John, you are on KBOO.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Trump said when he described what he was going to do to the left in the United States, he described exactly what he didn't say the acronym COINTELPRO. Okay, he didn't say COINTELPRO, but he didn't have to, did he?
Yeah. Do you want to explain what COINTELPRO is for our listeners?
That's the counterintelligence program that J. Edgar Hoover used through. Who was the guy that was in charge of doing in Judy Berry and the Black Panthers? Richard Held.
Mm.
Richard Held, FBI agent Richard Held, who was in charge of the COINTELPRO program that murdered Fred Hampton, a Black Panther leader in Chicago. They most likely, because Richard Held was doing his thing when Judy Berry got bombed, when she got bombed. So what they do is they get inside organizations. They infiltrate with the undercovers, and then they start doing stuff like what they did with the Panthers, and they start writing letters to one another that are fake letters.
Yeah, but aren't we worrying about things that aren't necessarily that? I mean, we need to be vigilant, but don't we need to get to the point of organizing that they were at in 1968 when Fred Hampton was murdered? I mean, they're trying to basically nip it in the bud is what they're trying to do. But we're not even really making enough of a commotion right now, in my view.
It feels like we're silently just letting it happen.
COINTELPRO is designed to make a commotion.
Right, but I think my point is that we ourselves, on our side, are inhibiting ourselves more than we are being inhibited by them.
Well, I think here we are at the, tipping point, and, where our democracy, our republic could be completely undermined. I mean, Trump's goal to create this insurrection, to utilize the Insurrection Act or in a state of emergency, is to suspend elections or even to put military forces around our election polling places and to intimidate voters not to vote because he doesn't want to lose control of Congress. And
he'll probably grab the voting machines.
Yes, that's a possibility.
That Governor of Illinois is talking about.
Yes. So it's really quite, as Paul was saying, we do need to figure out how to organize, how to get together, and have we developed a unified approach that is equal to what we've seen in the past? And that is the question. Of course, nowadays, a lot of the infiltration, even control, comes from content on our screens, right? Whether particularly social media. And now we see a lot of these television stations and radio stations and newspapers being taken over by the far right, and so it becomes harder and harder to speak. I mean, the horror that I see CBS News reporters saying that Barry Weiss is now in charge of their news division at CBS. And of course, that's the Ellisons putting her in place there. They are supporters of Trump, and she's a far right, opinion writer who started her own newsletter, and which they bought for millions of dollars, and now put her in charge of CBS. So we can, and if you, I've looked at some of the CBS coverage recently about Portland, and it is inflammatory, the national coverage, and so it's very worrisome because we have to fight, we have to prevent, because they're going to try. They have bots, they have everything, and they can try to really present us in a way that's very negative. And people who live in these silos of information, whether it's MAGA silos, that's all they know. And I've seen comments, a lot on these about Noam coming yesterday. She didn't even let the governor know she was coming, Homeland Secretary Noam. And I should note that Noam was the governor of South Dakota, and she was horrible to the tribes during the pandemic. She actually tried to force some of the reservations to open their borders so that they could be exposed to the virus because they had closed their borders. And this was before we had the vaccine. And so it's, she's terrible. Now they've unleashed this South Dakota Republican on the world. And we're seeing the result of that. She's and you know, Ice Barbie, right? And she didn't contact our governor. You know, she was coming. She did contact. You know what she you knew? Who she did contact? She didn't contact the local media when she landed. She brought in a whole bunch of MAGA influencers, social media influencers, and invited them to tour the ICE facilities with her. That's who she brought in. And so we really do have to think about our messaging and how we promote that and how we get around the guardrails that are being put in place by far-right ownership of our media and social media.
Yes, keep telling it, sister.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi, we have another caller. Mike? Thanks. Thank you. Mike, you are on KBOO.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
In the spirit of the person who was talking about where we put our focus,
mm-hmm.
I think we have to stay on that subject, really stay on it.
Mm.
A couple days ago, I saw a presentation from an elementary school principal talking about how elementary schools are accessible to adults. Not only accessible, but they are desperate for adult guidance. In elementary schools, adults are falling off, volunteers, parent involvement are falling off. And this is a generation that we have to speak to.
Mm.
And it's right there. It's right in our neighborhoods. And these elementary schools are very willing to have adults come in and speak on any topic, show and tell, mentorship, in all the ways that, and I would say this is a crisis of neglecting where we're putting our focus. A lot of the community events that I go to are starting to atrophy and fall off because mm-hmm. people are isolating more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what we need to do, is to focus on community events and children and develop the community we want. Otherwise, we're just playing defense.
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, I was one of the organizers of the Not Your Mascot movement. I helped create that hashtag. And you know, going the importance of schools being allowed to discuss these issues, that is being cut off by Trump. You know, look at what he's doing. He actually called.
Actually, no, it isn't. It is not. And this principal made it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
These schools are wide open
mm-hmm.
for, you certainly can't focus on politics in the way that you're describing.
Yeah.
But we can actually make connections with these kids and shape them to value each other.
So the anti-DEI initiative hasn't reached.
To value the earth.
Anti-DEI hasn't reached these schools.
I'm sorry?
The anti-DEI thing hasn't reached schools. That's good to know. Paul?
No. They have reached schools in some ways, but not in ways that are going to stop us from going into schools and teaching children about being good to the earth, being good to animals, and being good to each other,
mm.
and connecting in those values. That will have a profound impact.
The problem is we can't wait for those kids to come of age to deal with the current
situation. Actually, we have to.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. Of course we should do that. What I'm putting the emphasis on is our own adult political community. How do we create our own stronger adult political community that's not divided by all the forces that have divided us, and not come into some kind of real strong common understanding of how we got? I mean, we need to get up to speed really fast in our own minds and with each other. We need to challenge each other. That's what we need to do. We need to engage our friends and we need to really engage each other in, you know, we even, you know, come out in strong arguments. We need to get it out in the open, all the contradictions that have allowed this situation to get to be the way it is.
That's,
I think
that's
one interesting, one interesting,
saying,
oh, okay, one interesting, can I finish really fast? One interesting point is that, you know, he's talking about is we need to be looking at these issues with adults, and obviously the education of children is important. I fought for that for years now, and particularly their understanding of American Indians, which of course is being you'd be surprised how little people know about American Indians. It's kind of shocking, actually. But the issue is, how do we address these things, like how they're trying to divide us? Like, one of the things I can think of is, of course, the farmers, you know, the soybean farmers in particular, who have been completely undermined by Trump. They voted for him, and then he put those tariffs in place, and then he went and bailed out Argentina with $20 billion, and then Argentina went and took all the soybean, you know, sold. China is now buying all their soybeans from Argentina instead of the United States. And what is Trump's response? He's going to bail out the farmers to the tune of up to $50 billion. And so this whole thing has cost us a lot of money. And I think the farmers, we need to call upon them to not accept that money. Of course, they probably will. But to basically make an issue them accepting that money to show that this is a non-operative. Go ahead. Oh, we have another caller.
No, just let Mike respond.
Okay, sorry.
Mike.
Okay.
Please, one word. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's in the context of elementary schools and community hubs that adults connect with each other. This is not just about a didactic information to kids. It's about adults connecting with each other in the community.
Okay.
Elementary schools are a perfect place to do it, and what you're showing me is defensiveness rather than opportunity.
No, I don't agree. I think it's all good. All the forums, but I'm not sure you get the chance to really hash out the difficult issues that prevent us from organizing together in an elementary school. I think you can get to know each other and stuff. Those are definitely long term, but there's a fire happening. We have to put out the fire. It is defensive. We are in a war, and it's a full out assault upon us. We need to take the posture that we're actually in a war. They're engaging in social war against us is what's happening.
An actual militarized
action. We'll continue to
actions.
Do what we're doing with that language. Great, great mistake you're making.
Well, no, I totally agree that with what you're saying, but I mean, the issue is that what we're talking about is a specific instance right here, right now,
we've
which
gotta
is
create peace, not defend against war. We got to create
well,
peace.
Yes, okay, I definitely think that creating peace is important, but sometimes you know, war is brought upon us. You know, and we have to figure out how to respond, and not necessarily in a violent way. We're not talking about, you know, violence. We're talking about leading with peace and with heart, and showing who we really are to the world. But the question
is elementary school.
Yes, that's a very important component of it. But it's, you know, we need to show the world who we are. We need to prevent them from, you know, categorizing us and representing us.
Please.
Well, this is a major step because
in our communities.
Yes. Well, we know who we are in our communities. The thing is, like, do outsiders know who we are? I mean, I've seen comments from people from other parts of the state of Oregon saying, yes, go send in the military, you know, kill those Portlanders, you know, and they don't know who we are, obviously. Go ahead.
So
I'm not hearing who we are by your comments.
Well, one thought.
I want to know who we are by peace.
Well, one thought is, Mike, is that perhaps the difference that's coming out, at least between you and me, I speak for myself,
yeah,
is one of the actual, you know, sources of the sites of tension and difference that need to actually be addressed. And so we don't have the time and the space to do it here. So I don't know where the time, you know, even the difference between pacifism and non-pacifism. There's deep-seated conflicts on the left. I don't know where you come down. I haven't, you know.
You know, it's not either or. Both are true. We need to resist. We need to do all the things you're describing, and we need to build community. But we're being hijacked in our own nervous system by all this defensiveness and terror that you're describing, and we're becoming inoperable to be able to create community.
Yeah, I agree. It's
and
really
we have to do it.
It's very important to not allow him to hijack who we are, or to be caught up in the sort of the ways he wants us to make us feel hopeless, you know, raise up our cortisol levels. We need to retain that center of peace in what we're doing.
Exactly.
That's absolutely true. And we're not trying to say that what you're saying is,
I promise you.
Yes, that is very important in all of this as well. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Well, we have time for maybe one last quick caller. If you want to get in at 503-231-8187. Well, this has been interesting. A lot of things have come out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so. I think some of the core themes are peaceful resistance does equal power, as our last caller noted. And we definitely need more solidarity with immigrants and vulnerable groups, not to, forget what, not to let him distract us and dictate where we are on the board. and to reject propaganda, own our own narrative, and that public pressure. Remember to keep applying public pressure to your elected officials, particularly our Democratic elected officials, and that could change politics. And of course, what we're hearing from a lot of folks in the community and in our leaders is Portland needs to stay calm, stay weird, and stay united.
Anyone else want to get in at 503-231-8187? We just got a couple minutes left. Thank you to all our callers today. And it's good to be back on the air. For anyone who's interested, I finally found out what my hip problem was by getting an MRI, and now I've got an appropriate diagnosis and a good physical therapist. And it's amazing how just the right diagnosis, actually, and that's what I'm calling for, the right diagnosis of the situation. Looks like we got a quick caller. Who we got on the air, Ty?
Barry. Boycott. Crap, yeah. Corporations are taking over, but they're vulnerable to spending. If people quit spending, they'll back down like they did with Jimmy Kimmel.
Excellent point. Yeah, I think we have to remember to boycott. There are so many more corporations to boycott now, especially with the takeover of our media and our social media. I think the Ellisons have even gotten a deal to have controlling interest of TikTok here in the United States and to get access to that algorithm. And so I think that caller.
Want to take that caller off the air? There's some background noise going on.
Getting some music there. Is that the...
Oh, that's me.
Oh, is that you? So anyway, we're getting some background music. But yeah, I think that's an excellent point. We still didn't remember the different ways in which we can take on the system and what power we have. And we did get Jimmy Kimmel back on the air, which is one victory. But we need to continue, let the corporations know that they cannot partner with authoritarianism to make a buck.
Looks like we're about out of time. Thanks for everybody called, and thank you, Ty. And that was Jesse Wells, by the way, who started us off. I don't know where we're going to go out with Jesse. Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Purpose in the current circus. If you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs and zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they get a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. Well, I failed the academy. The cops weren't having me. The army didn't sound that fun, so I found me a pair of...
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation.